Welcome to The Drop-Off. Epic conversations about the workforce of today and the talent of tomorrow. Featuring candid, pointed conversations with influential business leaders. Here's your host, Nicole Real.
Thanks for tuning into The Drop-Off. I'm Nicole Real, and joining us today is David Perez, an Epic board member and longstanding business leader here in Colorado. With 40 years of executive leadership in medical device and healthcare services, David expertly leverages his extensive experience leading complex multinational businesses and cross-cultural organizations to advise private equity and public companies, as well as nonprofits, to drive meaningful change. David is generous with his time and expertise, and his passion for integrating business goals with social impact is truly remarkable. So thank you for joining us today, David.
Thank you, Nicole. Appreciate you having me.
Awesome. Well, this is a great opportunity for people to get to know our Epic business leaders, understand a little bit more about them, you know, what brought them into their journeys and how do they end up where they are today. So I always like to ask questions just to learn more about that initially. So you had the opportunity to lead Terumo BCT for more than 18 years, which is incredibly impressive.
Thank you.
Moreover, leading a company that has really been a pillar of Denver since, I think, 1968
That's correct, yeah.
is a unique experience. So can you share more about Terumo, share more about your professional background and your time as president and CEO there?
Great. Well, thank you for the opportunity. So for those of you that have been around Colorado, there was a company called Cobe Laboratories, and Bob Collins, which is the CEO, and Rand Bellows is the BE. Rand and Bob, they formed the company back in 1964, and they actually moved to the campus out in Lakewood in 1968. And the company had lots of different businesses, everything from dialysis equipment to the blood business to we own dialysis clinics. But if you think about with blood, it's called extracorporeal. It's how do you process blood outside the body? And Rand and Bob were just experts in the in that field. They wound up selling the company to a Swedish company called Gambro back in 1990. But we continue to operate as Cobe Laboratories. And then, again, the business I was part of was called BCT, Blood Component Technologies. And we continue to carry the Cobe name until January 1st of 2000. And then we became Gambro. And the Gambro was the owner of the company back to 1990. It was based in Stockholm, Sweden, the largest shareholder being a big conglomerate called Investor AB. So anyway, we started, I joined the company in 1999. I came in as the head of U.S. sales and global marketing. I was promoted to president and CEO in 2000. And it was great. I was running a division of Gambro. I was getting to go to Stockholm like six times a year. It was a great,
sounds great like a
gig.
Great place to travel.
I had a great time. But we had, as I said before, we had lots of different businesses. And one of the businesses is we own dialysis clinics in the United States and internationally. And in 2005, we wound up selling the dialysis clinics to DaVita, obviously one of the big companies here
yes,
in town.
Of course.
So we had a lot of cash. It was a multi-billion-dollar transaction. So we had a lot of cash on the balance sheet. So we were concerned about being a takeover target. When you have mm-hmm. that kind of cash on the balance sheet, you tend to be a takeover target. So rather than that happening, they decided to take us private because we were publicly traded on the Swedish stock market, and so they decided to take us private. So overnight, I went from running a division of Gambro to we became a separate, standalone, independent, U.S. incorporated company called Coridian BCT. Again, Blood Component Technologies, and Investor AB, which was our largest shareholder, they owned half of us, and then EQT, a very, very large private equity company, once again based in Stockholm, they owned the other half of us. And we learned so much. We continued to grow and develop as a company. They were wonderful owners to us. But the only guarantee that you have in private equity, and there's only one, is that you will be sold again, right?
Yeah.
You're either going to be sold to the public markets, or you're going to be sold to
right.
another company.
Something's going to change.
Only guarantee that you have. And so we were sold 4.5 years later, and we were sold to a big company called Terumo, which is based in Tokyo. So they had a blood business. They combined it with us, and we formed Terumo BCT. And they wanted one of their businesses, a big publicly traded company on the Tokyo Stock Exchange. It was a very successful exit. It was the largest at the time. I'm not sure if it is still today, but at the time, back in 2011, it was the largest acquisition ever done in the medical technology business in Japan. And they were publicly traded in Tokyo, but they wanted one of their businesses. And so they asked me to continue to lead the combined company from Denver, Colorado. So I did that. So I led the global blood business for Terumo. And then I was also on the board of directors of Terumo Corporation back in Tokyo. Very proud of that. At the time, again, I don't know what the numbers are today, but at the time, I was one of less than 300 non-Japanese directors of all publicly traded companies for all industries in Japan. So I was very, very proud of that. And I continued to stay on for another 8 years. They were wonderful. We continued to grow and develop the business. And at some point in time, you have to think about succession. And so we went through a succession planning process and was very fortunate that we had Antoinette Gavin, who you know, who's another Epic board member. Antoinette's a wonderful leader, and she's taken the company to new heights of success. Antoinette was my successor. So I was there for 20 years. I was CEO for 18 and a half. And at some point in time, you have to be succeeded. And I think the time was right. It was time for me. It was time for the company. And I just had a wonderful experience going back to, again, 1999, growing and developing the company. I think when I started, we did about $160 million of revenue. And when I left, we were just right at the door of $1 billion of sales. So
wow.
It was, and Antoinette's taken it to even greater heights of success today. So really a wonderful journey. It was so focused on blood banking, transfusion medicine, cell therapy. At the end of everything we did, there was just a very, very sick patient. And that's what motivated us. A very international company I truly love. We did business in 130 countries around the world. We have manufacturing facilities in multiple countries around the world. It was just a really, truly wonderful experience to lead that organization. If you think about blood is in a very important part of healthcare, but it's a narrow part of healthcare.
Right.
But it's a very important part in the science, the technology, the innovation, the ability to serve patients around the world was truly an honor and privilege to lead that organization.
Wow. So 160 million to about $1 billion. Stockholm to Tokyo,
yeah,
running global business from Denver.
And what was funny about it is people would come out to campus, because when I left, it's in Lakewood, right off of 6th and Sims. Mm-hmm. And when I left, there was about 3,000 employees, or we were called associates there. We had 7,000 associates around the world, but we had 3,000 there in Lakewood. But because we were always foreign-owned, we were kind of this best-kept secret, and we would invite public officials. We've had multiple visits from the governor and the senators, congressmen.
Right.
They said, we had no idea that you guys were over here because we were a privately held company, but very impactful in what we had a chance to do.
And I imagine anyone who actually donates blood has, their blood has probably been processed and or touched by the equipment.
It probably has, because our customers
touches,
here locally, if you've ever been around Colorado, is Bonfies,
yep.
which is now owned by Vitalant.
Right.
And so we would sell our products to them. So, what happens with blood is, needle in the arm.
Right.
Blood can go into a bag, and then you have to separate blood into platelets, plasma, and red cells. Or you could do something called apheresis, where needle in the arm, then blood into one of our machines. And what happens with blood is if you spin blood at very high RPMs, blood separates into layers. So you could target which layer. So, for example, I'm O negative, so you want as many of my red cells as you can get. Oh, well, very good.
But, universal donor.
But somebody else may be platelets. Somebody else
may be.
So you can target which one you need. Then
very
we had
cool.
other technologies. We work with patients that were very, very sick. We were the world's largest collector. Or peripheral bloodstem cells from patients with cancer in the world. We had technology that could remove viruses and bacteria and parasites, that could potentially exist in blood.
Wow.
And then we did quite a bit of work in the emerging field of cell and gene therapy. So
it
really all aspects to do with blood and blood technologies.
Well, fascinating to learn about all this for sure, from one universal donor to another as well. So now you're retired. You're serving on a variety of boards, I believe. So what does that look like now for you? And, how do you like to engage in your community and really remain connected to that work through your board work?
Well, what I like to tell people is I retired from operating a company, but I didn't retire. And so what I really wanted to do was to try to give back, to share what I learned throughout my career by becoming a board member. So today I'm a professional board member, and that's what I do. As a board member, my goal is to ask questions And really to share what I learned, you know, throughout my career to help companies reach their full potential and to help leaders of the companies reach their full potential. And so I really divided it into six categories. You know, one, because I had so much private equity experience, I really wanted to focus on the private equity industry. I'm kind of working again with one of our owners, Investor AB, and their private equity arm is called Patricia Industries. And I serve on three of their boards today. And I also, wow. My second category is public. And so I'm on a public board, all of which is in healthcare. You know, I'm on the board of NeoGenomics. We have a similar friend in Chris Smith, who's the CEO, who lives here in Castle Pines. And he is in cancer diagnostics. So again, my first category is private equity. My second category was public. My third was nonprofit, which we'll get to. You know, my fourth was I wanted to get involved civically because I spent so much time on airplanes traveling the world. I wanted to get involved in my own backyard here in Colorado. Mm-hmm. My fifth one was being on a hospital board. I wanted to see healthcare from the other side.
Yeah, and so I'm like on the, up close and personal.
Exactly. I'm on the St. Anthony's and St. Anthony's North board. And then I still wanted to stay involved in the industry. So the Department of Health and Human Services has an advisory committee for blood and safety tissue availability. And so I still stay involved by doing that. So those are my six categories. But, you know, where you and I have known each other a little bit is on the nonprofit side. And as you and I know, there's a nonprofit for everything, right?
Right.
And so how do you focus your passion? How do you focus your energy? Where do you want to spend your time and your resources? And mine, I really put a lot of thought to it. And for anyone thinking about serving on boards, I really think it's important for people to think about where their focus is, where's their passion. And mine, I spent a lot of time thinking about how do you break the chain of generational poverty. And there's different ways that can happen. You and I both serve on the board of directors of Book Trust, a wonderful organization, but there's overwhelming data that says if you get a child reading at a third grade level by third grade, they go on to graduate from high school, they become employed, and it's a way to break the chain of generational poverty. I'm on the board of the Nurse Family Partnership. It's a 42-year longitudinal study started by Dr. David Oles out at the University of Colorado, and it's a wonderful organization, but the premise says that if you take a first-time at-risk teenage girl, this could be drugs, alcohol, abusive situations, that if it's the first time that they're pregnant, and you team them with a public health nurse in the first trimester of pregnancy, and that public health nurse makes visits to the pregnant young woman through birth and then makes monthly visits to mom and baby till baby turns two, there's 42 years of data that says they have a healthy pregnancy, the baby develops at a normal rate, they get off drugs, they get off alcohol, they get out of abusive situations, and it's just a wonderful way to break that chain of generational poverty. And then I tried to tie it together because I do believe so strongly in the role that public policy can play, and I wanted to tie it together because I've done a lot of public policy work as a CEO of Terumo BCT. How do you tie it together? And that's how I came to be introduced to Epic. Yeah. And once again, I think as executives, you know, we have a role and responsibility to really improve the underlying fundamentals of our industry, and in this case, our state, by looking at the public policy and how it can, and the role it can play in helping to break the chain of generational poverty. So that's what I do now, how I got involved and why I've gotten involved in some of the organizations that I'm part of.
Yeah, well, thank you, first off, because it's so helpful, you know, to leaders like myself and others to have board members like you who are willing to share, you know, your expertise, your time, your mentorship, and support organizations as they are working on these social impact issues. And I've really enjoyed working with you on our board as well. So always like to say thank you to people who do take the time for that. You know, when you talk about public policy, you know, you've seen the impacts of public policy in your role with Terumo, you know, and previous to that. You know, how does that tie together to how you see a lot of these, you know, nonprofit organizations, right? This work that we're trying to do from a social impact perspective. Why is that so critical?
Well, first off, when you think about any industry, in my case, whether it be healthcare here in the mission that Epic has, you have to look at how do we improve the underlying fundamentals of the industry. So when you think about healthcare, there was the public policy group that I worked closely with was called AVMED, was the Advanced Medical Technology Association, and it really was the trade association that represented all medical, you know, technology companies. And you have to think about, for example, the FDA. How do you work with the FDA? You know, the FDA's role out there is to improve or to ensure the safety and the efficacy of medical products put on the marketplace. Well, you have to work with the FDA. You have to work with reimbursement. You know, it's one thing to have a product on the marketplace, but will insurance companies will pay for it? So I mean, how do you get access of your products to patients that need those products? So that's where international regulations, trade associated with it. So when you think about the role of public policy in healthcare, that's really where I got involved. Then secondarily, you have to think about it from a long-term perspective. Public policy does not happen overnight. I will say, though, that I've been really impressed with Epic, you know, how fast, you know, you've been able to make a fundamental difference here in Colorado with you and your team and the impact and influence that Epic has. And it's best represented by, you just look at the number of bills that are going through the state legislature today. It really highlights, you know, the impact and influence that Epic has. But I think for business leaders out there, one, you have to take a look and say, do you believe in public policy and its ability to have an impact on the underlying fundamentals of your industry, whatever that may be.
Right.
Secondarily, you got to look at it from a long-term perspective. It's hard to say public policy is going to improve my revenue, my profitability, and my cash flow next year. You can't look at it that
right.
way.
Right. It's a long game.
It takes time, especially when you're dealing with agencies like the FDA or some of the other reimbursement agencies. But I personally believe, and that's why I got involved in public policy, is that we have a responsibility to once again improve the underlying fundamentals, and that's why I believe so strongly in it.
Yeah, I always say, you know, policy has generations of impact, and that goes for well-designed policy, and it goes for poorly designed policy as well. So that's what I love about Epic getting involved in this work and bringing business leaders to the table on these policy conversations, helping them inform what this can and should look like. Because even though healthcare is different from childcare and early education, in many ways, there's a lot of parallels there,
absolutely.
Right? You're talking about access and supply and affordability and, you know, and regulated industries, which have good reasons to be regulated,
absolutely.
Right? And there's that balance of how do you make sure that you engage at the right times and offer the right input and perspective.
Well, we also have to think about the concept of continuous improvement because there is no perfect bill out there, right? You think about
it
in my world, what the FDA looked like, you know, 50 years ago. You looked about what Medicare looked at, you know, 50 years ago, and look how continuous improvement and evolution has occurred. So that's another thing about public policy is there is no such thing as a perfect bill, but how do you get a bill in place, and then how do you continue to evolve it? How do you continue to improve it to better serve the industry and to better serve the individuals that are going to benefit from that legislation?
Right. Yeah. The work really never stops.
Right.
It just always keeps going. So from your perspective, you know, talking to other CEOs, other business leaders who are in positions like yours, you know, why should they be a part of Epic's work? Why should they join? Why is this an organization that they should really put at, you know, near the top of their list of organizations to support and get involved with?
Well, any leader that has an organization out there, you look at one of the toughest things we're dealing with, daycare. It is a crisis across the country, but we, you know, you shared a lot of statistics with us, you know, as part of Epic about what we're dealing with here in Colorado. And if you think about how we're going to be able to break that chain of generational poverty, we need to have people in the workforce that are able to work, able to contribute, and able to lend their skills and expertise, you know, to whatever your company it may be. But in order for them to be in the workforce, we have to have opportunities for them to work. And part of that is daycare and the ability for us. So really what appealed to me, you've gone beyond, you know, daycare, whether it be funding for universal pre-K, kindergarten, daycare. But once again, how do we get people in the workforce? And by people working, we have the opportunity to break the chain of generational poverty, but we got to enable them to do that by making daycare an affordable wage, making daycare available to as many people as possible. And so that's really what attracted me to this. And I look at, you know, what Guild Education was able to do to build and what Mile High United Way is doing now. You know, when I was in the chair, you know, I wish we could, and we talked about it, but it was just such a daunting task to try to get a daycare facility on our campus. And today, maybe I would have a different view because of the work of Epic, you know, the way you all have been able to, you know, enable companies to be able to serve their employees by having on-site daycare. But once again, why I got involved is if we get more people working, it breaks the chain of generational poverty, but we need to enable them to work by addressing things like the child care crisis here in Colorado.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think to your point, like, we're really excited about the work that we've done to help make that tackling that challenge around childcare for their workforce easier, right? You talked about how hard that was, and it's very complicated. And a lot of businesses, you know, say, hey, like, we want to help, but we don't really know what we're doing when it comes to running childcare or even developing these solutions. So to that point, you know, what are you excited about when it comes to Epic's future? You know, what do you hope you see in the future with business leaders engaging around this topic?
Well, what I would tell you, when I think about Epic, it's impact and influence. You know, I've often said that Epic, you know, punches at a level much higher, you know, than the size of the organization, yeah. If that makes sense, right? The impact and influence, and how is that measured? Well, do you just look at you and your team, the respect that you have on Capitol Hill with the governor and legislators. You look at the number of bills that are going through today. I mean, you can really look at the impact and influence. And so when I think about Epic, is you're making tremendous progress improving the underlying fundamentals for the state of Colorado. And so when I think about Epic in the future, it's that how do we continue to improve, continuous improvement for the underlying fundamentals here in the state of Colorado. But as you know, a lot of people are calling you from states around the country saying, how can you help us?
I mean,
you are a role model for impact and influence. You are a role model for how a state can embrace this and make impact, you know, for its citizens. And so I think it's both Colorado and Epic continuing to have that deep impact here, and then how do we enable other organizations and other states to learn from Colorado so they can improve their underlying fundamentals, you know, back in their respective homes as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're super excited about it. And, you know, we've done some growing over the years. And like you said, we continue to have high impact. And that's definitely part of our plan as well. So, well, thank you again for taking the time to chat with us today. It's always so interesting to learn about the business leaders who engage with Epic, learn about your background, your career path, you know, how you got to where you are today. You know, do you see, you know, this board service continuing for you? Do you have exciting things on your horizon that you're excited to engage in beyond what we talked about already with these boards?
I just want to continue to serve. Again, yeah. As I said earlier, my goal is to share what I learned in my career through my experiences, those lessons learned, if you will, and how do I apply those to the organizations that I have the privilege to serve. And that's what I want to continue to do and continue to do that for Epic going forward as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you, David, for joining us today on The Drop-Off, Epic Conversations about the Workforce of Today and the Talent of Tomorrow. We are extremely grateful to you for your sharing your experience and your passion for public policy and early care and education.
Thank you, Nicole.
The Drop-Off is a production of executives partnering to invest in children. Please rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. For more information about our organization, visit coloradoepic.org.